attention. I want to thank all of you for all your work and support and everything that you did for this last week for this Vacation Bible School that we've just come through. We kind of had everybody on the hook. Those that could work, worked. Those that could give, gave. And those that could pray, prayed. And God answered. And we saw 25 of our young'uns come to know the Lord this last week. And so now we have a process of, you know, working through that with parents and trying to make sure that we try to get them plugged in where they're supposed to be. Isn't real helpful if you get folks saved and leave them where they're at. And so we want to do our best to see about helping them to get moving and growing and getting plugged in where they belong. And so you pray for that process now. We're never done. We've got to keep going with what we've got going on. But I'm very pleased and very excited by all that took place here and all the good work that was done for these youngsters. I had in my heart and mind to take us back over into something that I started a couple of weeks ago, and that didn't work out. So what happened is that during this Vacation Bible School, the Lord gave me an approach to how to share with our youngsters this last week. And so what I'm going to do this morning, as He's directed, is I'm going to share that with you. And you see, when I share with you what I'm going to share here this morning, it's going to be probably much more involved than what the youngsters got. Tried to be very simplistic with the approach to each and every one of them. And the only ones that got any of this is from second grade up. And so we dealt with second graders up, presented the gospel, and used this particular passage to do it. Use some of the same things that I'm going to share today, but I'm just going to assume that there's a whole bunch of adults here today that can handle a little more than what our kids could handle with all of that. And so you're going to get the basics, but you're going to get a little more here today as well. Everybody with me? So in its seed form, you'll get the sharing of the gospel out of Matthew chapter 7. And then there are other pieces that the Lord wants me to kind of share with you as we go. I jotted down a note or two, but I don't even know where to begin with all of that. So I'm just praying that everything will kind of get hooked up the way that it needs to this morning and that you'll get what the Lord has for you today. Matthew chapter 7. There are three verses here that I want us to take a look at and use this as a springboard to the message this morning, beginning in verse 13. Matthew 7:13. And it says, "Enter ye in." That word "enter" is important. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in there. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." This is the jumping off place that we used to start our gospel presentation with our youngsters this last week. Here's the question that I prefaced the study with. And I'm going to ask you this question today. I'm not going to get you to raise your hand. I'm not going to get you to say anything out loud. I don't want you to do anything but to ponder this question in your own heart, to answer it for yourself, and to silently store that away. I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to explain what we have in the scripture. And then I'm going to come back and ask the question again. In light of what we've explained, is your answer going to be the same the second time or is it not? You ready? That's the process. Here's the question. Would you, as you sit here this morning, would you be absolutely certain that if something were to happen to you today, that you could make heaven, or would you doubt it? Would you be absolutely certain of heaven this morning, or would you doubt that? That's the question. Answer it. Now we're going to talk about the scripture that we have here. I'm going to talk about several things that go along with that. And then at some point before we dismiss today, I'm going to ask that question again. If the question is different, then we probably have something that we need to do with that, a response that needs to be made. So I want to give you the information to be able to answer the question this day. What this scripture talks about is it talks about that there are two ways, okay? And one of those ways that it talks about is a broad way. It's a wide way. And this broad way, this wide way, winds up somewhere. It says in this scripture that this broad way, this wide gate, ends up in a place called destruction. All right? Destruction. This broad way ends up in destruction, in a place of separation, in a place that is separated from a holy and righteous God. There's only one place in all the places that a person could be or go, that a person can be separated from a holy and righteous God. And that one place is a place called hell. And so when it's talking about this broad way, this place of destruction, it's talking about this place that we know of as hell. It's a place, not a cuss word. It's a location. It's a destination for many. It says that there's going to be many that are going to go in that gate. Now, here's the truth about all of that right here, okay? The truth is that from the moment that we are born, we are placed on that way. We are placed on that way, and the end of that destination is hell. And the reason that we're placed on that way is because of one little old simple thing. And the one simple thing that places us on that pathway, on that interstate, going to the wide gate, going to the wide way, the thing that places us on that interstate is a thing called sin. Okay? Where we have missed the mark, where we have missed God's holiness, where we have missed the mark that God has placed out for us. So we are, by virtue of default, we are placed on this broad way, headed for a place called destruction, which we know as hell in our evangelical church here this morning. Man in the garden, man is a three-part man. Man is a soul. He's a soul. That soul has a body, and that soul has a spirit. Okay? When man was in fellowship with God in the garden prior to the fall of man, that three-part man, in his spirit, God's spirit, was intact and he was in fellowship with God. Everything was as it should be. God was in tune with man. Man was in tune with God through that spirit. It was alive. It was active. Everything was working as it properly should. But when man decided to disobey God and do things his way, to put self on the throne of his life, rather than to have God on the throne of his life, what happened then was the antenna was broken. The antenna in the spirit. Fellowship with God was broken in his spirit. And now man's spirit ruled in his life apart from God. He ruled apart from God. And so that was the heinousness of sin, that it severed the relationship that man had with God. You see, when Scripture says that we are dead in trespass and sin, that's exactly the story. The antenna's broken. Our fellowship with God is broken there. It's not that we're laying there a lifeless corpse We move, we breathe, we go, we do, we this and that and the other, but the problem is that we're not in tune with God because the antenna with Him is broken because of something called sin, which is disobedience. You get where I'm going with that. So what happens at the moment of salvation is that God's Spirit activates, makes alive, quickens the spirit of man, and that fellowship is restored, that communication is restored. And so the Spirit then is in a position where it is listening to God and being led and directed by the Spirit of God rather than by man's own selfish interests. Okay? That's being born again. That is to live. That's to be raised from the dead, so to speak. Okay? So when we're born, we're placed on this track because fellowship with God's broken. The antenna is broken. We're not listening to Him, we're listening to the spirit of man in that three-part man that we have going on here. And so we're on this particular pathway here. Now, so it says that there is a wide way and a broad way, and that many there will be that go in thereat. Here's the truth. If nothing happens, this is the default. Something has to happen to change this. Something has to happen to change this situation in your life. If it does not, the end of this is destruction. The end of this is hell. Now let's look at the other way. It says there's also a narrow way. There is a narrow way. This narrow way is not the broad way. The narrow way is a tiny way. The narrow way is the way. Okay? The narrow way is only wide enough for one to pass at a time. Only one at a time come through the narrow way. Many can pass through the broad way, but only one at a time come through the narrow way. And it says there's going to be a whole bunch of people that find the broad way. And the fact is that everybody's on it to start with. So yeah, they're going to find it. You're on it. Unless something changes. So everybody's on the broad way, but there is a narrow way. This narrow way only has room for one at a time to get through it. Few there will be that find it. There won't be but just a few that are going to find this way. Out of the billions of people on the planet, many are going to go through the broad way. Very, very, very few are going to find the narrow way and enter therein. The word enter being a key word. Enter. Unless you leave the broad way and enter the narrow way, the end of your life is going to be destruction. Unless you exit the broad way and enter the narrow way, you'll go to hell. If you do nothing, that's where you're headed. If you do everything, that's where you're headed. You get it? There's a whole bunch of people that think that they're okay, that everything's going to be fine as we travel down this way. But they're not. The only way you're going to get out of this life alive and get to the place of life and eternal life is through the narrow way. And the only way that that's going to happen is if these folks over here are called. Called and presented with the truth in order that they might decide which is the exit, that they might decide to exit the broad way and enter the narrow way. Now, on the broad way, we have all kinds of ideas and theologies and all kinds of things that are balled up in all of that. And on the Broadway, you've got people all over this world that think that they're okay. They think that they're okay because they have incorporated things into their life that they believe are going to make a change with the way that things go about, that they go about it. But the truth is that there's only one way to get out of this stream. And that one way, Scripture tells us, is Jesus Christ. Scripture tells me that He is the gate, that He's the door, that He is the path, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father unless they come through Him. He is the narrow way. There are not two narrow ways. There is one narrow way, and He's it. He's the door of that narrow way. You will come through the door of the narrow way one at a time, not in groups, not in bunches, but one at a time, or you will not come at all. So we have a narrow way. We know what the narrow way is, but we have this stream of folks that are out here that have convinced themselves that everything that I'm about and everything that sounds good in this old world is good enough to get me out of trouble when I come to the end of this thing. And the truth is that that's not the truth. And so there's been a very few that have been called out, called to as they've come through this broad way and said, how about Jesus? Let's give Him a try. Here's the gospel, that Jesus came to this earth, that He died, that He was buried, that He rose again, that He gave Himself for you, that He died for your sins so that you wouldn't have to. You see, that's what people that have been into the narrow way are supposed to be doing. Those of us that have entered the narrow way ought to be making our way back out to the Broadway. Making our way out to the Broadway to holler to those that are going by, I mean hell-bent for leather, that they're headed by, listen, you're headed for destruction. Listen, there's a problem ahead of you. And Jesus is the answer and the only way out of what you've got yourself into right here. You see, our job is to come back out to this place, to the Broadway, and to present the truth. To present the truth in such a way that folks might give a hearing to the gospel and that they might exit. That they might exit the Broadway. Now herein is part of the problem as well. People give it a hearing. They get convinced in their head. Get convinced in their head that maybe they're not headed in such a good direction, that Jesus may in fact be the answer to that. And so what they do then is they'll exit the Broadway, but they stay on the access road. Because when you get saved in your head only, it don't change nothing. And so people get convinced intellectually at times that Jesus is the answer, and so they exit the interstate itself but stay on the access road and travel just about the same speed as the rest of them do on the interstate. You're headed for where? Destruction. We have exited the interstate now, but we are now on the access road, still traveling in the same direction because we have only been engaged in our head. And therein lies the biggest problem in the church. We've got a whole bunch of people that have exited, thinking that they have come out of the mainstream, but have only been saved in their heads, and are in fact traveling the access roads of life. It's only when an individual exits this stream, convinced that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and then surrenders. Surrenders, lock, stock, and barrel. It's not enough just to think it, to believe it. There's something that is required. And Scripture teaches of it over and over and over and over and over again. You see, there is a repentance that is required. A turning from and a turning to. An understanding that this is the way of the flesh, the world, and the devil. And that if I'm going to follow the Lord, that I need to put that behind me. And that I must look forward to Him by faith, and trust Him with everything that I've got. You see, salvation occurs not when you exit the highway because you think you know who he is and what he's done, but when that decision reaches your heart and you surrender to him. Lord, I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. I am undone. I know you are who you said you were. You told me you were a Savior. I believe that with all my head and all my heart. And I'm asking you to save my soul. The part of you that you. I'm asking you to save my soul. You see, repentance is the birth canal of salvation. Repentance is that place of turning away from the mess of, that we came out of so that we can wholeheartedly and whole hog put ourselves into the things of God, which means that now we're in a condition, in a place where we can pass through the narrow way all by ourselves. We don't get saved in bunches. We get saved singly, one at a time. Now, my friend, having passed through the narrow way, life is mine. Life is mine. Unfortunately, what we have is we got a whole bunch of folks that exit the interstate, ride the access road. They're neither honest or in the middle of this, nor are they over in here, where we're supposed to be, in the narrow way. They're sitting there in the middle riding the fence, riding down the access road of life, taking a look at all the lights and the glitter because they're real easy access over here because we've got off the mainstream of everything. We can just pull right in where anything that we want to pull into. And the problem is we're just running just as fast as everybody that's running over here in this business right over here. We got our head pretty saved, but we never have submitted, never have given over, surrendered our life to the Lord, never come through the narrow way. We've been head saved, but we hadn't been heart saved. And so we're running down the access road over here. And what the Lord says is, why don't you take a right down there on Glory Avenue? Why don't you just go ahead and take a right down there on Glory Avenue? Because that leads to Beulah Land if you go to the end of that road. But no, we want to pass up Glory Avenue, you see, and keep riding on the access road because we don't want to make the commitment. We don't want to jump into this thing. We don't want to leave the past behind. We want to have both worlds. And therein is the rub with the church because we got a whole bunch of access road Christians running down the access road, got their heads saved, but they're not made a commitment, not getting out. They're still in the mainstream, don't even know it. What's going to happen is you run out of interstate at some point and everything feeds you right back up onto the interstate. Unless you take a ride on Glory Avenue. It's only when you take the ride on Glory Avenue that you wind up in Beulah Land at the end of that road, you see. I keep wondering, why is it that you have to beg people to do something? Why is it that you have to keep after people to get them to do anything for the Lord? And then it occurred to me. They exited, think they're all right, but they're still running the access road. They're not in, they're not out. Not on, not off. And they don't even know it. Because what's missing is that piece right there. This piece right here is what's missing. That total and complete surrender. That says, I am no longer of the world. This world is not my home. I am now placing everything in the hands of Jesus Christ. I'm not hedging my bets. I'm not going back. I am here. I need you. I want you. I'm crying out for you. I want you now. And we'll do everything in our power to make sure that nobody brings us to the point of us admitting whether or not we've come through this point or not. You listen to testimonies as long as I have and you get to wondering. Total and complete surrender is what he asked for. Let me show you. Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 26. He said unto him, what's written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said to him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Go back to the passage that we were in there just a moment ago. Take a look down here, verse 15. This is Matthew 7. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree can't bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruits hewn down and cast into the fire. That might be destruction. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. You get a lot of folks that take the exit, but never take a ride on Glory Avenue. Their fruits betray them. Their works betray them. What's his name? Adrian Rogers. He puts it like this. He said, a faith that fizzles at the last was flawed from the first. A faith that fizzles at the last was flawed at the first. Matthew 22 has another piece of the story to it here, verse 36. What's the great commandment of the law? Jesus said, you'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first great commandment, and the second's like it to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, when you get saved, all you want to do is love the Lord. You want to do what He wants to do. That's what you want. That's what your wanter says you want to do. You want to love Him with everything that you've got. You want to be about His business. You want to serve Him. And what that means is when you carry that farther out is that not only do you want to serve Him, love Him, be about His business, but you want to love these people out here too. So you don't just go over here and isolate yourself and dig you a hole and wait out your time over in here. When you love Him, when you've come into His grace, when you've come into His love the only way you can through that surrender, then what you do is you have a heart for these people back in here. And so you circle back. And you begin to be that one crying by the highway. Hey, there's a better way. Look over here. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the narrow way. Jesus goes on and talks about in some of His teachings about let the dead bury their dead. Right? He says, let the dead bury their dead. Well, I need to go back and I just got married. I need to tend to things. No, He says, no. No, you don't need to do that. What He's saying with all of that is that there's a price. That there's a price to be paid when you come into the kingdom. I wonder sometimes if we were to live one day a week like Paul lived, how this community would change. You ever thought about that? If we lived one day a week like Paul lived, poured our life out for Christ for one day a week, wonder how things would look different, huh? We get to thinking that we're really doing something if we spend a couple hours working with somebody or doing this or picking up some trash or something else around the church. We think we've really done something. Wonder what Paul would think of our efforts. Wonder what those disciples would think of our efforts. Wonder how impressed they'd be with the things that we're involved in. Now, I know we don't do it to please them. But boy, we ought to be doing it to please somebody, shouldn't we? Huh? Somebody other than herself. Huh? So what it requires to be born again, to be saved, is that we have to exit the interstate of self and come through the access road of surrender, make a hard ride on Glory Avenue, which comes out down at a place called Beulah Land. Amen. So I want to ask you the question again here just briefly. Are you certain of heaven, or would you doubt that? When you say that I'm certain of it, what you're saying is that I've come through this place. It's the only way you can be certain. It's the only way you can be certain that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Repent and be baptized. Exit. Exit. Turn away from that and then walk in it. Turn away from that and then walk in it. Repent and be baptized. This piece. You bypass this piece, you're still riding on the access road. It's the only way you get to make the hard ride on Glory Avenue is by surrendering yourself, all of you, to the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. That access road stuff is one of the things that I was teaching here for a good long while with our Sunday school ministry. Teach folks a halfway decent lesson. Reproduce. Invest yourself in that classroom into people that can reproduce and start new classes and such as that. Invite everyone to every event that you can put out there at least once a month. Minister as a class. That M part is that part that's out here where those of us that have gone through the narrow way come back out to the highway and minister. Minister to these folks that are headed for destruction, you see. And things run pretty good whenever you're standing there cracking the whip about it. But the minute you quit cracking the whip, looks like people begin to run the access road. So it got me to thinking about all of this. Why do we have to push Christians? Huh? I got to thinking about that. My brother, he's worked for my dad. He's worked ranch jobs all over the country. Excellent worker. Great work ethic. Work circles around you. I'm telling you, he's a worker. But he can't work for himself. Works great for other people. Somebody puts out a plan, puts out a process, gives him lined out, gives him a month's worth of work, he will get the work done in 2 weeks. But you put him in charge, let him be the boss, you don't even know where to start. Some people can't work for themselves. But as a Christian, we all ought to be self-starters. We've been equipped. God gave us the equipment to be able to do everything that He's called us to do. And if that antenna's in place, and we're in that fellowship that we're supposed to be in, taking orders from Him, then why should somebody have to crack the whip on us? Huh? I think maybe it's the flaw right here. A lot of preachers have preached on that, and they preached it different ways. Weed among the tares. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different messages that have been taught about folks that think that they're okay, that they're really not. You can say it any way you want to, but it just still all boils down to that one moment. Boils down to that surrender. Handing over the keys of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It all comes down to that one moment. You can say it however you want to, but that moment has to be there. Or it's just happened in your head. Question. Would you be absolutely certain of heaven if something were to happen to you today? Or would you doubt it? There is a broad way. Many will go in there at. You don't have to do a thing. Just keep going. Just keep going. But there is a narrow way. It requires action. It requires entrance. You must enter in. And the entrance to that is to exit through repentance and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the price of entry. Complete and total surrender. Where are you today? How are you today? What's your answer to that question this morning? If you doubt it, we know the end of that. If you're sure of it, then it might be time to circle back around and get busy and get on with the things of God. Amen? That's what He would require of us. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much, Lord, for a little simple message out of some simple little verses that we have here today. I thank You, Lord, for the simplicity of the question that we've asked today. And Lord, that simple doesn't mean easy. We know, dear Heavenly Father, that when we come into the kingdom, Lord, that there is going to be hard things that have to be done, hard ways that have to be traveled. But Lord, You tell us that You will be with us and that You will not forsake us. That we can count on You being with us. That Lord, when we stand against an army, me with You on my side are a majority. And so Lord, we thank You for Your provision for us. And ask You, dear Heavenly Father, to bring down the answer to these questions to something very quite simple this morning. Lord, I see a lot of playing around. So I ask You, Father, to get a hold of the play actors today. And Lord, those that have not responded to the grace that You've extended in our lives, I pray, dear God, that we might be about Your business, that we might love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. And God, our neighbor is ourself. That's what all the law and the prophets come down to. It's all of it right there, all rolled up. Lord, help us to be about that business. Loving You and loving those around us. What better love could there be than to tell people how to find life? So I ask You, dear Heavenly Father, to convict us of that. And to change our minds about how we see people around us. Father, I'm going to leave Your people in Your hands this morning. Get out of the way. Lord, let You do what You want to do today. We'll be careful to give You the praise for all that You do, because You are worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. And we exalt Your name this morning. We pray that in Jesus' name, and amen. Jason's going to lead us in a song of response this morning.